Now we're in Acts chapter 10, and we've been looking at really at this whole chapter deals with God showing us that he's no respecter of persons, that it doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from. Really, we should get even what you've done is that God loves and cares for all, and he wants to save everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But really, he's showing his people that the gospel needs to go to everyone. It's not just for a select few. It needs to go out to the whole world. And that's really what the book of Acts is. It's God saying, take the gospel to the world. And what they did there is what we need to do here. A lot of times you read in the book of Acts and you can see, and it seems like, man, everything's just boom, 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 boom. It's happening so fast. But Acts probably takes place over like 30 years. Through the book of Acts, probably, yeah, right around there, maybe a little more than 30 years. So everything's not just like that. It's like the next week this happened, the next week this happened. No, years transpire between a lot of events. But that's why as a Christian's responsibility, your responsibility is to be faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because, and I love this about God, and it was mentioned earlier during the time we were giving thanks, and Ms. Susanna said, he's merciful. I'm thankful for his mercy. And when we look at Bible characters, and, you know, we use the term Bible characters, and I'm fine with it, but they were people just like you and me. And I like that when we look at these Bible characters throughout the Bible, that we can see their failures. We can see where they messed up, where they did wrong. Like, one thing, I look at Jonah. What was Jonah's problem? Anybody, do you know? I know I kind of sprung that on you. What was Jonah's problem? What's that? No, not really doubts. He was bitter. He was bitter. He didn't doubt God because he believed God. If he went and preached, he believed God would help the people. And that's what he didn't want. He didn't like the people. He didn't like the Ninevites because of what they've done to the children of Israel. So he was bitter over God helping them, over God saving them. And sorry, Isaiah, that's why no one ever wants to answer. But, you know, he was bitter. That's what he was. So we look at somebody like Jonah and he's bitter. How about, you know, King David? What was his problem? By the way, he had multiple problems. Anybody? And now everyone's like, I'm not saying a word. No. Lust. That was a problem. What else? Would we say anger was a problem? Well, he murdered somebody. You know, so there's, I mean, he didn't actually commit the murder himself, but he set things in motion so that the man would be murdered. And could we say also pride? Satan provoked him to number the children of Israel's pride. Pride. So we see all these shortcomings of people. What about Noah? I mean, Noah, right? Where would we be without Noah? Right? We wouldn't be here. Like, look at, you know, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was because of Noah's faith. You know, by faith, Noah believed God, and then he built an ark to the saving of his house. Okay, so what about Noah? What's his big failure? Anybody? Now, we're talking about saved people here, right? What did Noah do? Anyone? Everyone's like, I am not saying a word. Right? He was a drunk. He was a drunk, right? And then you have that whole mishap between Cain and his wife, or, yeah. And or whatever happened there. There's speculation both ways. I have my opinion on what actually took place there. But so he was a drunkard. How about Peter? What's that? It's prejudice? Yeah? Towards the Jews, right? What else? I mean, When Jesus tells you, get thee behind me, Satan, that's pretty ouch, right? Like, these are saved people we're talking about. And Jesus told him that. Why? Because he tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And he tells Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. These are all flawed people. And I'm not trying to make excuses for us. See, nowhere does the Bible give us a license to sin. It's like, oh, well, because of this, I'm just under grace, so I can do what I want. The Bible never even intimates that. But it does show us that God will use sinful people. God will use people that mess up. But what's the key there? These are people that get things right. That's what the difference is. So Peter, you know, he denied the Lord three times, right? But then he went and he wept bitterly. I mean, he was broken over his sin, and then he's restored. He gets things right. That's the amazing thing about God, is that God does that, and God uses just regular people. People like you and me. And we can see that in this story. So let's go ahead. Oh man, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit farther down. Because I was just preparing for moving forward in this. But you can see that these are just regular people that God uses. And I want that to stick with us, because sometimes we think, well, man, well, if I was like Peter, then I could do more for God. I'm like, oh, so, you know, if you denied the Lord, you know, if you stuck your foot in your mouth and said foolish things that you shouldn't say, if you let your anger get the best of you, because these are all things that Peter did, right? Who's the guy that tried to cut off the high priest's servant's head? That was Peter. I mean, if you overreact and do foolish things, hey, okay, yeah, then if you were like Peter, you could do the things Peter did. So if you do any of those things, hey, you are like Peter, and you can do the things that Peter did. And that's what I'm trying to get across, is that these are just normal people that live a regular life like us, that they had days where they were bored. They had days where they were on fire for the Lord. They had days where they were like, I don't want to serve God today. They had days like that. They had days where they had a headache all day, where they had sicknesses, and yet they still got up and did what they had to do. Or they had days where they had just great joy and everything was wonderful and things were going great, and days where they were let down by people and things like that. And days where I had a great day at work and wow, God blessed us with this money, and now, oh, things are tight and I don't have any money. They were normal people. And yet God used these people. And God will use us. Because I think we can get so much in our own heads that it's like, I'm not what I should be for God right now. I've been closer to God than I am right now. And we feel like we're just the biggest scum of the earth because we're not everything that we should be for God. But again, I've said it before, that God measures our Christianity in decades. God's looking for us to be faithful. And that means just, hey, you know, you haven't quit until you don't get up anymore. So just get back up. Just keep going. Just strive to do that one next right thing. And just keep going. Walk with God. Talk with God. Ask forgiveness from God. And He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will use us just like He's used all these flawed people in here. This is a book of flawed people except for one. Do you realize that? Everybody in here. Except for one. Do you realize that in Jesus' own genealogy, there's like, I think, two or three harlots? Okay, those are women that sell themselves for money. Rahab, for sure. I know there's a couple other in there that fit in that. There's two or three. Do we realize they are in Jesus Christ's lineage? Okay, that's where they're at. Like, people mess up, but God still uses them. So if you're like, well, if I could just be like Peter, like Paul, like Mark, like Matthew, like Timothy, like Silas, like any of these people, like Luke, you are like them. You are like them. We have this idealized version of who they are, that they're like superhuman and they don't sin and they don't struggle. They don't lose faith. I mean, they lose faith. They absolutely lose faith. Do you realize they get bitter in here. And that's why I brought up Jonah. Jonah gets bitter. He got bitter about what God did for somebody else. Think about that. You ever been there? You ever gotten bitter because God did something nice for somebody else? You're like, oh no, I wouldn't do that. Liar. You liar. Really? You've never gotten upset because God did something nice for somebody else? You're like, well, how come they have all this money or whatever it is? Doesn't matter. How come it seems like their prayers get answered? It doesn't matter what it is. That was Jonah. He was bitter because God was merciful to people he didn't like. God did something nice to people he didn't like. And maybe this is the sermon and this is why we never get through Acts, because I doubt I'm even going to get to any of that. But I feel like this is beneficial for us. God uses messed up people. God uses people with little faith. Can you be one of those people with all your flaws, everything you know that's wrong with you? Could you say, God, I'll be one of those people. God, if you will use me, I want to be one of those people. And that's what it takes, really, is to just be a willing vessel, a yielded vessel. Turn with me real quick to Ephesians. I think it's Ephesians I want. Give me a sec. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And there's so much craziness that goes on with what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And it's super simple. And this verse lays it out for you. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. So if I'm drunk with wine, alcohol, what is that saying then? What does it mean? And I've taught us this before, but what does it mean if I'm drunk? That it means I am under the influence. And we use that language. I'm under the influence. They're under the influence. If you hear someone say, oh, that person's under the influence, what does it mean? Go ahead, say it. What does it mean? They're drunk, right? So they are under the control or the guidance or the direction of that spirit. It's amazing to me that even now still you can go and it's wine and spirits. Wine and spirits. Even still, if you go to the grocery store, the alcohol department, many times it's still wine and spirits. On the outside of it, you can see it. You drive by liquor stores, it'll say wine and spirits. They're under the control of that spirit. It's controlling them. It's influencing them. You know, there used to be a lot of preaching against alcohol, and this is why prohibition came about. And a lot could be said about that. But man, alcohol's made a lot of wife beaters, a lot of child abusers, a lot of rapists. And I'm not saying the men didn't choose to do it, but they were under the influence of something. Something they wouldn't normally do in their right mind, they would when they were under the influence of that. And that thing was leading them and guiding them. And so God's making a contrast for us. He says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Don't let this wine control you. He says, rather, here's what you should do. But, it's a contrast, be filled with the Spirit. So instead of getting filled up with wine that's going to control you and influence you and change your thinking and take your thinking, by the way, it never takes it a good way. Alcohol never takes your thinking a good way. It always goes bad. It always goes bad. God's saying, in contrast to that, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. Because I want that influencing you. The Spirit of God. Well, how does the Spirit of God influence us? Well, let me ask you this. Does God ever contradict himself? That's an easy one, right? No, of course he doesn't contradict himself. So if God never contradicts himself, then his leading is always going to be in line with what? His word. His leading will always be in line with his word. And so we're to be filled with the Spirit, then I'm going to have that influencing me. Then that means I have to yield myself to that. I have to allow the Spirit to control me. I have to give access to that. Do you realize I have to give access to alcohol for it to control me? I've got to yield myself over to it. I have to voluntarily ingest it. We have to voluntarily give access to the Spirit. Because the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. So we can grieve him. We can say, no. God says, don't do that. Yield to him, rather. Be filled with the Spirit. Give him access to control you. And that control is going to be based on his word. That means then you're going to make decisions that fall in line with the word of God, not decisions that fall in line outside of the word of God. If you're doing something in your life that is contrary to the word of God, then you have not yielded to the Spirit of God. You have grieved the Spirit of God. Okay, like Jonah, like Peter, trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross, like Noah, getting drunk. The amazing thing about God is as messed up as we can be, God is still willing to use us and forgive us. And I think it almost seems like a contradiction, but when you look at the life of Samson, it is said of Samson more than anybody else in the Bible that the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, I'm not saying the Spirit of God came upon him more than anybody else in the Bible. That we don't know. What I do know is the Bible says that it came upon him more than anybody else in the Bible. Now, it doesn't mean that it didn't come upon other people more. God just didn't tell us it did. It does tell us it came upon him more than anybody else in the Bible. And yet this guy's a walking contradiction to that. He continually breaks his Nazarite vow. He marries outside of God's will. God tells his people, you know, don't be unequally yoked. Don't marry somebody that doesn't believe like you, that isn't a Jew. And yet that's who he goes after. And he does that. And God says, I can work all of this for my purpose. I can use all of this for my purpose. And yet we see him yielding himself to God and doing great feats. I mean, he gets the 100, you know, Philistines he kills and slays 500 of them with the jawbone of an ass, the Bible says. And then we know at the end of his life, after he defiled himself so much, and he finally did one thing and too much, and God says, that's it. My power is not going to be with you anymore like it's been, Samson. And he lost that, and he was captured by his enemies. What a picture of the flesh destroying you. You give into the flesh and it'll destroy you. And his enemies captured him, blinded him. That's what sin does to you. It blinds you. You think you have control over it. You think you know where you're going. You think you know what you're doing, but you don't. Because you get to a point where you can't control it anymore. It's too powerful, and it blinds him. He loses his eyesight. Then he's there in prison grinding, just working away as a slave. So sin will do to you. It puts you in bondage. But then in the end of his life, he yields himself to God again. And he, you know, destroys the Philistines and himself. So it costs you, but there it is. God still used him. That's my point. God would use him when he would yield himself back to God. And you think, why would God put that illustration in the Bible for us? Why would God show us that? Because if we yield ourselves to God, he'll use us in spite of ourselves. In spite of who you are, in spite of what you've done, God will still use you. God wants to use you. That's all he's got to work with is broken, messed up people. I love that we talk about, that's the normal families. Tell me when you find one. Okay, when you find a normal family, let me know. Because I have yet to find one. Unless messed up is normal, then we're all normal. Because that's every family I know. They're messed up. Why? Because they're filled with people. Because they're filled with people. The same goes for churches. Churches are messed up. Why? Because they're filled with people. because they're filled with people. That's why churches are messed up. God will use you if you yield yourself to Him, if you give yourself to Him. And that's what we need to do. That's what our church needs. We need the Spirit of God to meet with us, to fall on us like it did on the day of Pentecost. We need a working of the Spirit of God, but that will only take place if we yield ourselves to Him. And that's got to take place outside of here. That's where that's really going to show up, is outside of here, not here. That we give ourselves over to God, that God becomes important to us, that we make God an important part of our daily life, of our schedule, that we give ourselves to Him bit by bit. And maybe it's just starting with, I'm just going to add 5 minutes of time with God here. As we start doing that, as we start yielding ourselves to Him, God starts speaking more. God starts working more. And we see Him begin to work in us, to use us, just like Samson. You know, his hair started growing back a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time, and he's got closer to God, closer to God, closer to God, yielded himself to God, and then that power was there again. I'm not saying that God wants us to die when He uses us again. I'm not saying that, but my point is that He wants to use us because He wants people saved. And then that's the point of it. I mean, that's what, you know, Pentecost was all about. That's God empowering His church. Why? For what? To be witnesses in all the world, to go be a witness. But that empowering is going to be you empowered, you empowered, you empowered, you empowered, you empowered, you empowered. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be all of us. Empowered, what? Filled with the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled to overflowing. That He's coming out of me. I'm filling up with Him. What does that mean? That I'm thinking like God. I'm allowing Him to come inside of me, to guide me, to direct me, to make my choices for me. That I'm not going to walk around with a bad attitude because something bad happened to me, because I'm in a bad mood, because I got mad. I'm going to allow God to fill me so that doesn't affect me, so I don't turn that way. I'm going to allow God to work in me. I'm going to allow God to help me to be kind. I'm going to allow God to help me to be loving to people. I'm going to allow God to help me be merciful. I'm going to allow God to help me be studious and be faithful in prayer and be faithful at work and be a good employee and all these different things, whatever it is. Be a good parent, a good child, a good student, a good worker, whatever. It doesn't matter, wherever you fit. I'm going to allow God to work in me. Because when God's working in us, it's going to affect every area, but we have to let Him, we have to give Him that access, and that's that yieldedness. And only you can do that. Only I can do that. Are you willing to do that? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to read one more few verses, maybe. Go to Galatians 5 now. This is going to be a pretty lengthy passage here, but I think you'll see how it fits. Galatians 5:16. Paul says to the Galatians, the churches of Galatia, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So how do we not fulfill the lust of the flesh? We walk in the Spirit, or we are filled with the Spirit. So we're walking in the Spirit, with the Spirit, where the Spirit would go. That's what we're doing. Verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." So the Spirit and the flesh fight each other. They're contrary. They don't go together. So if you are following the flesh, you're not giving in. I'm sorry, if you're following the Spirit, you're not giving in to the flesh. If you're following the flesh, you are not giving in to the Spirit. One is leading. And only one. They're contrary. They're going to fight each other. Hopefully that battle is going on within you. the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And you'll know that battle's there because God says this, that's the spirit. And anything contrary to that, that's the flesh. Okay, and they're fighting and you're like, I know I should do this, but I want to do this. I know I should do this. And it's just back and forth. They're contrary the one to another. Now, but if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Here's the works of the flesh. Here you go. Here's a list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Hey, did you see yourself on that list? I bet you did somewhere. Should I read it again? Let me read it again. Look for yourself, okay? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at this. Oh, praise God. I like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. Hey, does this describe you? This is what we want. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. It looks like love. It looks like joy. Are you a joyous person? Are you a loving person? Are you a person that looks for peace, that seeks peace? Are you a long-suffering person? Or do you get mad right away? Do you fly off the handle? Or will you allow, you know, things to go and not fly off the handle, not boil over? Are you gentle? Are you good? Are you full of faith? Are you meek? That's controlling the strength that you have. Are you temperate? Do you have self-control? There's no law against that. Against such there is no law. Before Christ, we've crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Have you crucified your flesh? This is why I die daily. That's what Paul said. I die daily. This is what we have to do. If we want to see God work in this church and use us and really expand his kingdom and see more churches started and really see some excitement going on in here and new people coming in and people growing and learning. And by the way, with that, we're going to have people come in and we're going to have people go. Okay, that's just kind of always what happens. Some are going to stick. Okay, but that's what we want. But if we want to see that excitement, if we want to see, you know, I can't wait. I just love this. I can't wait. So we've got, you know, we have a kids class on Sunday mornings again, and then the kids come in here and they're loud and they make a mess and they spill things and it's just, they're just sticky little fingers everywhere. I can't wait to have that. I want that. I want that. I want the distractions that come with them. I want all of it because that means we're reaching people and we're hopefully going to reach those kids before the world gets a hold of them, before the devil gets a hold of them. We're going to reach them. Because they're going to be getting taught the word of God. But if we want to see that, if we want to see God actively at work here, and we don't have to get huge. I don't care about that. Maybe we will. That's up to God. I don't really care. I just want to see us changing lives, impacting people. But that's going to come. This church is going to be what we make it, what you make it. So what kind of member are you? Because that's what this church is. This church is what you are. So what is it? This is why we need to be yielded to the Spirit of God, that he's guiding us, that he's helping us, that it's all by his grace. It's got to be his grace. We need his grace. We need his help. Father, we love you.